dynamic. Okay, so tonight I want to share on why are there, if you read the word, us here, we might not question the word, but sometimes you're going, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Preventable disasters. And especially for an unbeliever, somebody, if you pick up the word and you start reading it, there's a lot of preventable disasters in here that doesn't weigh out. Now, for a lot of Christians, you just don't question it. I don't understand it. You keep moving forward. The purpose of this is to help with that and to help other people to be able to see it from a whole other perspective, the author's perspective. One of the problems we have with the word, if you're not prepped, you're not reading it from the author's perspective. Vera and I started a movie the other night. Can't find any movies, and she rents it, or it was free. And as it gets started, it says a Weinstein production. He's the pedophile guy that's having sex with everybody. He's the author. And I'm like, I don't know if this is the same guy. So I started doing research. We get 3 minutes into it. We know who the author is. It's over. 3 minutes into it, there's a 14-year-old girl telling her father she used her money for condoms as he's getting drunk at a bar. We know the author. Mm-hmm. We turn it off. But if people aren't ready and you read Yahweh's word, you're going to see it from your own perspective. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it from Einstein's dog perspective, not Einstein.
Why?
Here's some examples. And these are kind of rhetorical, but why would you put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in a perfect paradise? Now, you and I would have answers, but to an unbeliever, going to go, really? Just don't put the tree there. Problem solved, right?
Yeah.
Why would he let the shining one exalt himself until he fell? Lucifer. Why would he allow a serpent into the garden? And why would he not intervene when he started talking? Look at the consequences. And I'm purposely bringing these up from my own perspective. These are things that I don't understand. I just keep going on. There's many things I don't understand. And I believe Yahweh has helped me with another perspective to help me with all these things. Here's some other examples. Didn't make sense. You're reading these scriptures, you're going to go, this is a preventable disaster. The prophet Shamuel tells the king, stay here until I come. What happens? The prophet's late.
Yeah.
He's late. What does the king do? King Saul goes, he offers the things up, but then the prophet shows up and goes, you did foolishly. Wait a minute. Come on, you're late. Did you know he was late? Yeah. And then he goes, you're going to go, that doesn't make sense. Is that preventable? The prophet could have said, I'm sorry I was late. I couldn't catch a cab. But he didn't. So what's up with that? How about David? It starts off in Second Samuel. And it says, at the time kings were off to war, here's King David goes wandering on his rooftop. How easy would it be to prevent him and Bathsheba being her bathing at the same time? Hey, David! I need you over here to distract the guy, right? Preventable disasters. And the story goes on and on and on. You can look at things. You're going, what is going on here? And then most people who don't know Yahweh's word, they'll come up with absurd rules. And God did this. And they try to come up with theology or a justification with their own wrong perspectives. And they don't know the word. And in order to understand some of these things, we must... We're going to take a look at some scriptures that if I was going to write a book, when we watched Lord of the Rings, at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, it gave you a, hey, before the first page, here's what's going on. And you're like, oh, this happens, there's a ring, is that? Okay, here's Frodo. And you're like, okay, I'm ready to go, right? It's like a preface.
Yeah.
And so the purpose of this is a preface. So before we start with creation, because there is a fall too, right? There's a fall before Adam and Eve. What? A perfect God with perfect vision and insight is creating things that fail. Start there. Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And so if somebody came to us and he said, we want to go to the new heaven and earth, we want salvation, we want to go to the place where there's no tear, there's no pain, death is over, there's no more socialists, 11, I would say, before you read the author's work, let me tell you about the author. He is not a Weinstein.
Yeah.
He's not Bill Clinton. He's not somebody winging it. Somebody read 11 verse 6 out loud.
But apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he that approaches unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he becometh.
Okay, let's just take that one scripture before you start the garden meeting. The Creator... It is impossible for him to be pleased without what?
Faith.
Faith. Can you have faith without conflict?
Yes. No.
Yeah, faith?
Can't.
No, faith goes against conflict. Faith is, Lazarus will rise again. Faith is, I will die, I'll go into the lion's den. Because you can't have faith without conflict. And in our minds, in our genetics, immediately we think conflict is an error. This should be resolved. But before you get started, you say, no. The purpose of his creation is to do what? Make faith. Adam and Eve. You got it. Don't do this. I'll be back. And then the next one, you turn to Proverbs 25, verse 2. Another scripture, a preface to the author. I love this one because it's the king who discovers this. Is it? Proverbs 25, 2.
25,
verse 2. So now you can sit down with a niño, a little kid, and you're going to be reading about Adam and Eve. And go, wait, the purpose of Adam and Eve is to make faith, because they can't be well pleasing to their Creator without faith. That starts making more sense, because can you have faith if you don't have choices? No. Faith is choosing. You're choosing something. And somebody would read 25 verse 2.
The glory of Yahweh is to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a thing.
Okay, that is an explanation why Hebrews 11:6 isn't before Genesis. Why would he explain something like that all the way back in Proverbs? Matthew 7:7 says what? Be seeking. Be asking. Be knocking. The other day, Verrill wanted to go get sushi. And I said, do you want me to pay for it? And I said, ask. Because I wanted her to ask. Why? Because I wanted to give. I wanted her to ask me to give. It's something neat. It's like asking a woman to dance. Or, do you love me? Do you want to do this? But there was something special with the choices. It's the glory of Elohim to hide things. And the glory of kings to search it out. What was Adam and Eve's choices there? They had animal vision. They were thinking things like beasts. They're seeing things laterally. And it's neat with Vero's artwork saying, to remain grateful after we receive, I forget what it actually says. It's basically saying that after I receive what I was asking for, I'll be grateful. Oh, yeah. She was talking about our marriage. How many times do we see that in the Word? Once you get what you wanted, now what? And the cycle of mankind is they get fat on the land and they reject, they don't need Yahweh, they're down here again. And Baal, the Baal is going to be prosperity, and here's Canada and New England, and they don't need Yahweh anymore. They got a government, and it comes right back down again. But the perspective is, for each person, the creation to do what? Make faith and to seek things out. Get to work. Fine. I love watching my wife's squirrels outside. these guys are some hard working animals. We're looking at them, and the squirrels love challenges. So she changed the bird feeders so they can't get the bird feeders. The squirrels learn how to hang upside down with 2 feet, use one hand and go. They love the challenge. They're seeking things out. And it's just a whole, I mean, we need to name them Tom Cruise. They thrive off of that. But it's neat. Now we would turn to Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. So why not just explain that at the beginning to say, you forget the purpose of creation.
And so, if
somebody would read Deuteronomy 30, verse 19.
I call to witness against you today the heavens and the earth, that life and death have I set before thee, the blessing and the curse. Therefore shouldst thou choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed.
Choose life. And what I'm trying to do is paint a picture. It's not just life. It's trying to help people, before you start explaining the story or reading a story, go, what is the purpose of this character's life? It's to choose life, but that's just part of it. It's to choose to love their creator, Ahav, their creator. It's to produce faith. Think about this. My dad did a teaching once, and my dad's knowledge is practical knowledge. He can say, you're good at it too. She can just see things black and white very easy. And I'm like, how did you come to that conclusion? Here's Moshe. Yahweh goes, come up here. Moses goes up there for 40 days. Here's the Ten Commandments. All right, comes back down. What do you guys say? We're on board. Great. What happens next? Anyone?
Rails up.
Calls them back up again. How many days?
40 days.
40 days.
Writes the commandments.
Writes the commandments.
With the finger of Yahweh.
Okay, then what happens when he comes back down?
He sees the
sin.
The deal, he breaks the covenant.
Okay, so they had already broken the covenant. Okay. To just a human, you should have let Moses go after 10 days, 6 days, 1 day. Could you have not given him the think about this. We're reading. He's going up there to get the tabernacle, all these details and stuff. And I'm going, wow. Yeah, I can download that just like this. I got to change my thinking. He could have done that 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, but 40 days, it appears Yahweh delayed until there was a problem. Yeah. What's the problem, Aaron? He could have avoided conflict. You're reading it from the wrong perspective. Life is conflict. The purpose of your life, my life is conflict. Because without conflict, we wouldn't get to choose. Without conflict, we would not produce faith. And start looking at this, going to go, because Moses, so when he comes back down, poor Moses. And then there's his brother. His brother has just been exalted. Here's what Aaron's going to be. Here's these other things I'm reading. Go, oh no, Aaron. And you're looking at this, going to go, man, what's up with this? Turn to John 14. Torce? Mm-hmm. Y nueve? 14, Gospel, John. And we're going to read down to the second part. It say, Christ earlier, he said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. Why is that important? Well, because he's really pissing off a lot of people. Master, you're offending the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I only say what my Father. So when you see Yehoshua kicking over tables, what's Yahweh doing? He does exactly. You do it. This is my, not an ambassador like Moses. This is my perfect image, the second Adam. And so he's telling them, I only say, you want to know what my Father? It's me. And it'd be the same way with Donald Trump. If he sent one of his sons to be in his ambassador, I'm talking to Donald Trump. They go, you're talking to me. I am Donald Trump. And that's how it works. And so verse 9, at the very end, he said, you can see, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How art thou saying, show us the Father? So Christ is the exact... ambassador, the perfect mediator. Think about an attorney going between two different people. They're going to get a lawsuit. And here's this mediator going, what are we going to do here? This mediator, the perfect mediator is Jesus Christ. Now go to verse 15. Would somebody do that? Read 15 for me.
If thou be loving me, my commandments ye will keep.
What did Yahweh say? If you love me, yeah, you'll keep me. That's not unconditional love.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, I'm leaving. Dad's leaving.
Be good.
I love you. I'll see you soon. We love you too. We will sing. You'll keep my commandments. The purpose of creation is to love the Creator. Will they choose Him? And we got to go back to a thousand years as one day. Or one day is a thousand years. You look at Adam's life living a thousand years. What's that to our Creator? He says, this is one day. It's nothing. Because you're looking at 50 years of Manasseh. Oh, he's like, are you kidding me? That's like, yeah, 2 seconds. It's nothing for him. But we're looking at that the purpose of Moses, of Aaron and the family, so that you can see Moses possibly wrestling on, golly, my own brother, and these people. No, the purpose of these people is to choose love, to choose life. This whole life is an audition. It's an invitation to the wedding feast. Who wants to go? Who wants to go and who's anticipating it? And so it appears that... Yeah, it appears Yahweh left Adam and Eve, right? Because mm-hmm. He comes back. But did he ever leave?
No.
And we laugh at them. Oh, they put fig leaves on them, and we mock them. Anytime we disobey the word, we've done the same thing. Well, I wouldn't do it in front of him. You just did. Because everything is in front of him. Everything. Whether it's unbelief, and sometimes it's not malice. Sometimes you just weep, but everything's right in front of him. You know, right to his face. And he's right there. And so here's Adam and Eve, and they think he's gone. What are you going to do when I'm gone? I think of that. My parents had 7 kids. They go out of town, leave the house for the weekend. Okay, what's the worst case scenario? They burn down the house. We got insurance. You come back, maybe you didn't pass that test. The purpose of disasters or a conflict. And you can see that when Yahushua or Yahweh comes back to Adam and Eve, he said, where are you? Where's your heart? To turn to Colossians 1:16. And this is going to be, what I'm trying to do is, and then there's going to be 2 more scriptures add on to this, is, so Colossians chapter 1, is to try to give us lenses like a glasses to be reading, not just the beginning of Genesis, but to be reading about David's life, about Saul's life, about Peter's life, Paul's life, about your life. The purpose of your life is to produce faith. The purpose of your life is to produce love, which is what? What is love? Obeying His commandments. The purpose of your life is to seek Him out, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. You get 80 years of it. How much did you seek? Would somebody read that verse for me?
Who is an image of the unseen God, firstborn of all creation?
Now 16.
Oh. You get it wrong. Because in Him were created all things in the heavens and upon the earth, the things seen and the things unseen, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, they all through Him and for Him have been created.
For Him. For who? Yahweh's Son. So Yahweh, what is the purpose of creation? Isn't that good to know when you start with Genesis?
Mm-hmm.
You see these cycles of man. What's the purpose? And when you look at something, you go, before you start reading this book, Yahweh's book, what is the purpose of your existence? Didn't that help?
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of Adam and Eve's existence? My perspective was, well, you put them in paradise, they should have been fine. I never thought about what was their purpose. Their purpose was to do all these things, but Yahweh explains in Colossians through the Apostle Paul, all these things were created for a son. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Yahweh created everything with for what? I want a son who's going to be a king. He's going to need people. His whole life, 6,000 years, is auditions. Who wants to go? My son needs kings. And you think about it, you go, wow. Doesn't that make sense? Adam and Eve, what did you choose? Now we look at Adam and Eve, how many sins did they commit? The scriptures are silent on any of the original. What did they do? I don't know. But you read this, the whole purpose of the Garden of Eden and all this stuff is going to be a resurrection and a new earth. And who, how many people say they love Yahweh, love Christ? Mouth means nothing. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you refuse to do the commandments, it doesn't matter what your justification is. You don't love them, at least in that area. And so the whole purpose is, my son, think about this, a father going, me and my son, I'm going to put him at the right hand. Son, you're going to run all of this stuff. Okay, what's the problem with the new heaven and earth? We don't have any, what's the purpose of a kingdom if you don't have people? We need people. Okay, what kind of people do we want here? We want people that are going to work. They're going to love me. People that are going to do what? Faith. Faith. People that have no problem producing faith. In order to have faith, it's going to be conflicts. Okay, and then, all right, and here's where we're going to go. You can imagine Yehoshua finally after the resurrection, he goes up to the Father's right hand. Can you imagine the angels watching? We've been waiting for this guy. Wow, here he is. And all of a sudden, here comes Christ Jesus. Boom! I'm ready to go at this, Dad. All right, here's the keys. Have it! I remember the first time my dad let me drive for the car, or let me drive the steering wheel. Vero, did your dad ever let you steer the truck? Okay, isn't that neat? And here's Yehoshua. And then one of the, I think is so important is 1 Peter. And so this would be the last scripture to apply to our filters, understanding the author. The author's perspective. Coming to the scriptures from the author's perspective, not David's perspective, not Aaron's perspective. And seeing the full picture to appreciate this. My wife and I are watching Lord of the Rings, and I was trying to explain what I'd heard about Lord of the Rings, and the writer went through World War I. He saw these kingdoms. I don't know if I got that far with it. He saw Germany do this, and France turn their back. They're not going to do this, and England's going to do this. They don't want to get involved. And here's this. I'm trying to get an idea so you can have an appreciation of the actual movie. And this is trying to get an appreciation of the book. Would somebody read, where are we?
1 Peter.
1 Peter 1:16. Somebody read that for me.
Inasmuch as it is written, holy shall you be, because I am holy.
Now, what does the word holy mean in Hebrew?
Kodesh? Separate.
Separate. Separate. To separate.
Common.
The purpose of your life is to separate. My dad said, Vera, what do you call sheep?
Oveja.
Oveja. He goes, you want to know if something's an oveja? All you do, I've heard him say this before, you take one sheep out of the whole flock and you leave with it and you let it go. And you know what the sheep does?
Runs right back.
It runs right back. That's a sheep. And if we show, and if Yahweh or somebody shows us scriptures that are that will separate us from the flock, separation is actually holy. Moses, come up here. Take your shoes off. Then you look at this and go, this is going to get me away from the flock. Now we have a choice. Is the purpose of your existence the flock? Or is it to be holy? To be separate. And we get to choose though. We'll be separate. And we're looking at that and just, wow, what are you going to do now? Well, I'm going to lose the flock. Yeah? Yeah? My son lost the flock, so did David.
Abraham.
Yeah. Come with me, Abraham. Oh, man, here's David. This guy's running on his... Here's... How about... You want to talk about separate? Think about Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Who's he with? He had a scribe for some part. And then here, what he was separating himself. It's a refinement. It's a purification. My own understanding is that when I found out that the Creator's name was Yahweh, I was like, oh my, this is so hard. I can't say that name. And then I was told it was, his son's name was Yeshua. And so, I finally changed it to Yeshua. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. It separated me from the flock. And then finally, it's not Yeshua, it's Yehoshua. When I found that out, I rolled my eyes. I couldn't believe it. what a mistake, until my brother goes, at least you're getting closer, right? And I went, yeah, the purpose of our life is to get closer to the author to separate. Now we think about, the purpose of our life is to make faith, produce faith. So if we wake up in the morning and say, what is the purpose of this day? It is to produce faith like an aroma to my Creator. And you imagine the first showbread that Moses, Moshe, and Aharon put in the tent of meetings or the tabernacle. Yahweh said, this bread will be here every day. Have you smelled fresh baked bread? Mm-hmm. What else were they doing? Is they would take the fat of the animal and they'd burn the fat. How does bacon smell? Mm-hmm. Is this, okay, yeah. And you start imagining what it would have smelled around you. It smelled really good. The purpose of our life is to become an aroma to Yahweh. And if you rebel, it's feces, it's caca, and that's how you smell. But my purpose is to produce faith. The purpose of my life is to separate. The purpose of my life is to seek Him out. He's going to have riddles for each one of us. The purpose of His life is not to explain Himself to me. What is the purpose of His life? None of your business. I'm talking about my son. Do you want to go or not? I'll go. and then you think about this, and we think about the separating and separating. Everybody in this room has been separated and separated. I was talking to my wife earlier, going, we keep separating this process. And my wife said one time, she was explaining gold. She was, everybody wants to be gold. I'm going to say this not correctly. Everybody wants the benefit of gold, but nobody wants to go through the process. And she talked about gold, you pull out a rock, they smash the rock. Then they take out the rock and they throw stuff away, separate. And then they put the material, she's a chemical engineer, into acid, melts the stuff down, separates again, and then they melt it, and then they melt it, and they melt it, and then they melt it. And the purpose of your lives and my life is to melt. Gold tried seven times. Seven times, my Lord? Seven times 77, Aaron. That's a lot of sevens. Every day is to purify myself. Now think about this. If the purpose of your life is to separate, to separate, to separate, doesn't that make Gideon's situation seem clear?
Yeah.
What are you doing to poor Gideon? He's down to 300 men. Too many. There's too many, Gideon. There's too many. But when you look at it, Yahweh is a holy Elohim. And if you are not holy, you're separate, you can't have Yahweh. You can't have both. You can't have both. Here's a husband with a faithful wife and a faithful girlfriend. Can't have a faithful wife and faithful girlfriend, right? One another, man. You lose your wife. And so here's Yahweh with Gideon. We're going to go on a war. You want a holy God with you? You got to get cleaned up. And what do? He's separating. Here's Yahweh separating and separating. What was Yahweh doing? He was refining his army. Not just his army, he was refining the people reading and watching. And he was refining Gideon. Here this thing is. And who was going to get to read all these processes? His son. 3,000 years later, his son, who had perfect intelligence, photographic memories, genius on levels we have no idea, could read these things and get to see some of the people who were choosing to be in his kingdom. I can't wait to meet David. Look what Jeremiah did. I can't wait to meet Jeremiah. Look what Noah did. And all these things, these people separating and separating. And now, turn to Luke chapter 22. And so I think about that with separating and making holy. How important is that? Because who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? Those who do the will, my father's will. Right? What does that mean? I taught that until it was applied to me, and it crushed me. What are you going to do, Aaron? Are you going to chase after people to keep sinners in your life? Or are you going to... Think about you're becoming holy. And it is by choice, freedom of will. You don't want to go, you don't have to go. We're going to a perfect place. And if you're not really excited about going, we're just going to put you over here on standby for a later appointment to meet. Maybe during 1,000 years, there'll be interviews. Okay, you said you wanted to go, but the way you ended did not look like you want to be here. What do you say? And so, but if somebody to read, is it, I said 22? 22:31. And here's our Lord and Savior talking to Yehoshua.
Simon, Simon, lo, Satan hath claimed you to sift as wheat.
And then to 32, please.
But I have entreated for thee that thy faith may not fail, and thou, once thou hast turned, strengthen thy brother.
And here this is, and you're going to go, if I was Peter, do you know what I would feel? Why are you always picking on me? I mean, hey, you know, but here he is, he's being called out again. They just talked about the 12 thrones. If you look right above it, great. Here's this exaltation. But then here's Simon, I have had to pray that you may not fail. And thou, once thou hast turned, what's that mean? Repenting is turning. It means to turn around or to stop. It didn't say repent, but once you have turned, do what?
Strengthen your brethren.
Did it say go fishing?
No.
And what did Simon do? And this could be all of us. It will apply to all of us with all of our callings. We just, hey, why do I have to do more work than they do? I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'll just do my own thing, right? And he said, no. I have prayed for you, Simon, for what? This purpose, you don't fail, and for you to strengthen your brethren. And what happens in John chapter 20 and 21, the last chapter, what happens? Yahweh leaves the garden, and Peter's all by himself, except it's his son, Yehoshua. Yehoshua's gone, oh wow, that was great. And just like Adam and Eve, what did he do? Now he didn't do what Adam and Eve did, but he missed the mark. To sin is to miss the mark, because he's gone. He's out of sight, out of mind. And Yehoshua comes back and he goes, do you love me? You know all things. I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to see it. The purpose of all these people's lives is to produce faith. And with these principles, we can apply these things. We can put these scriptures before we read about this and go, okay, to produce faith. Actually, what we've got to do is the whole purpose of existence is what? Colossians 1:16. Yahweh created all these things for his son and a new earth. Okay, we can look at the completed process. Sometimes if you're going to be putting something together, it could be a couch. What do? You go to the picture to see what does the finished product look like. Okay, oh, it goes like this. All right. That's what we need with the word. You see the finished product, a new heaven, a new earth. He wants a son. Okay. And what does he want? He needs people in the kingdom. What kind of people does he want in the kingdom? Well, you know what you would want in the kingdom. You want everybody to rub your feet. But what does the author want in his kingdom? It's people to make faith, people that are going to make love, make ahav, and people that constantly separate and to be seeking, to be knocking like kings. You think about that with Christ needing kings underneath him. That's Proverbs 25 verse 2. I need governors everywhere. Do you know how many people are going to be on this planet? Mm-hmm. I don't. You're talking about trillions, maybe? And there's going to be a lot of... And he needs ambassadors, and I need people. And so each one of us, we can, with your life, we can choose whether you're going to be a king or not. And how do you decide? It's when you quit. I'm comfortable right about here. And then, also with that, if we take the author's perspective, now apply it to your own life. He's calling each one of us, everybody, to do something you don't want to do. Do you know how I know that? Because without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. And if you are comfortable and you don't have anything in your mind that you have to give up or do that you don't want to do, what does that mean? It means you got an appointment. I had an appointment and the other day I got a phone call. It's at 1:30 and for a new client. And I'm looking at my clock, 1:30. It's 11:45, and he's calling. Well, he must be verifying the appointment. He goes, yeah, we had an appointment. I go, no, it's at 1:30. He goes, no, it was 11:30. I missed an appointment. So the challenge would be for people is like, what are you not giving up? What challenge do you have? And instead of avoiding, oh, I don't want conflict. No, the purpose of your life is conflict. Because without conflict, you can't have what? Resolution. How beautiful is resolution at the end of Lord of the Rings? The resolution at the end of any good writing, and then the hero shows up. Here's King David. Resolution. And but that's it. So learning by reading the Word from the author's perspective. So Father, I thank you for tonight. We thank you for today. And we thank you for that great day that we will get to see the ceremonies, not like the Olympics. There'll be trumpets and blasts. Everybody that's there has chosen to be with you and to serve under your Son's room. We thank you, Father, for helping us. That your scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this life will be gone. We thank you for these words. My children know that I am more patient than you can even comprehend. Remember that, because you will look at people in your life and you will become impatient sometimes. I'm working many things. I ask you to focus on your own life, and ask yourself, where was my patience possibly growing thin with you, not with them? Apply this, not to be hard on yourself, but to set yourself free. Because I want to set you free with truth. I want to refine you. I want to transform you from gold and dirt to a vessel of honor. Can you imagine the gold that was chosen to be in the Ark of the Covenant? Do you know that the Ark of the Covenant was just a replica of an ark that exists right now? What kind of gold is that? You can shoot for these things, and I will help you refine yourself. Don't waste your life away chasing comfort. Comfort is your enemy. Comfort is the beast that is inside you. But transform by the renewing of your mind into what you are called to be from the beginning of time. Amen.
Amen.